everyone. Can we start the day, please, with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Good morning, everyone. I'm Meryl, a compulsive overeater. I'd like to welcome you to Idea Day 2010, International Day Experiencing Abstinence. Idea Day is the day that we all reaffirm our commitment to refrain from compulsive overeating. I'd just like to take a moment to remember people who are no longer with us, either in body, mind, or spirit. Just a moment of silence. I'd like to express gratitude to God for bringing us all together today. I'd also like to thank the committee that worked tirelessly on making this day happen. This has been a long time coming. The last one that we actually did have was right here 2 years ago. Unfortunately, I missed it. 2 years ago today, I lost my mom and was unable to be here. But last year, as you know, we kind of took the year off through no fault of our own. And I decided to warm up the crowd today, I want to do something a little different. For the past 2.5 years since I've been in program, I've been jotting down all those little sayings and quotation that I hear people say. Then I started looking on the internet to see if I could find more. As you see up here, the supply is endless. I try to find and use a new one every day. Here are some of my favorites. No need to write them down. We'll have them available for you at the end of the day. I'm going to start with one by Mother Teresa. I know God will not give me anything I can't handle. I just wish that he didn't trust me so much. God never closes one door without opening another, but sometimes he makes us wait in the hallway. All you get from sitting on the pity pot is a big ring around your butt. Maybe the reason I was large is because I thought I was in charge. Attitude is the difference between an ordeal and an adventure. Being humble isn't that we think less of ourselves, it's that we think of ourselves less. My favorite, if you always do what you always did, you'll always get what you always got. The bottom started falling out faster than I could lower my standards. I love that one. Don't count the days, make the days count. I knew all the words by heart, but I couldn't hear the music. If your head is full of you, you'll learn nothing new. Without the pain of introspect, there will be no gain of self-respect. God moves the mountain, but you have to bring the shovel. And I've got two more, and then we can start. Holding a resentment is like drinking a glass of poison and waiting for the other son of a bitch to die. And I don't thank God for opening the gates of heaven and letting me in. I thank God for opening the gates of hell and letting me out. So on that note, we will start today's festivities. And our first workshop of the day, I'm going to call upon Paula, and it is on celebrating abstinence through the holidays. So, enjoy. Well, I kind of balanced between the two.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm Paula, I'm a compulsive overeater. So the workshop's name is Celebrating Abstinence During the Holidays, and we'll go until 10:55 is what the agenda says, and I'm going to take about 15 minutes to share my story relating to abstinence during the holidays, and then we'll open up the floor to some three-minute shares, five-minute shares, and take it from there. If we could start with the Serenity Prayer, and also just to take a deep breath, and let's give about a minute's time to think about those still suffering, both in and outside of these rooms. And then we'll go into the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So I wanted to take a few minutes. I put index cards on every single one of the chairs there. And I wanted to start the workshop with a question. What do the holidays mean to you? Just if you need a pen, I have some.
I have some, you too.
Thank you. Margaret has the pens. Just let's take about 3 minutes to write down, what do the holidays mean to you? An adjective, maybe a word, a phrase, a person, a place. So the question is, what do the holidays mean to you? I'm going to start. So I'm going to share about what the holidays were for me for many years. Just a little bit about myself. I have been in this program in January. It will be 5 years. I came into the rooms in January of 2006. I spent many years in the rooms thinking that I can do this by myself. And finally, through the grace of God, became abstinent in April of 2008 and have been maintaining, I still can't believe, a 50-pound weight loss one day at a time for the last 2.5 years. Before that, holidays. Holidays for me were very painful. If I was to really look at what it is that was unfolding, I come from a huge Italian-Sicilian family. My parents were born in Italy. I was the first one born in this country. Food is a huge part of our culture. I remember growing up, you know, if you didn't eat everything on your plate, there was something wrong. My mother would say, you know, what did I do wrong? You know, it was posed in this way. And my father had 13 brothers and sisters. So the parties and the festivities were big, and there was a lot of food. My family, the ladies in my family, would begin preparing probably about 4 to 5 days in advance. And it was a process. And so, you know, and that was the wonderful part I see now. But I never, in my disease, I never felt a part of that whole. As much as I had many, many, many family members around me, I never felt a part of anything. So it was painful. And I didn't know how to cope. So I ate. And the way that I ate and my addiction I never ate a lot in public. I have a deeply rooted defect that I want you to like me, and I don't want you to see that bad side of me. And so I ate in secrecy. A lot of my binging, a lot of that was done after hours when everybody was away and I was by myself. So what I would do during the holidays was there was food around, as I said, between 4 to 5 days before the holiday. There was a lot of preparation, families coming in, people that made me uncomfortable, people that I resented, people that I were afraid of. These are family members. And so I would graze, and I would graze right through the days. And thinking, the disease had me thinking that they would not suspect a thing. This was kind of the operation that was going on up here. And then I couldn't wait for everybody to go away so that I could take whatever leftovers and then go and have my fix, and that was kind of that was all I thought about. Like, when I tell you that my mind was consumed with this, that was what it was. And so it was because I didn't know how to cope. I didn't know how to deal, and I didn't know how to face uncles that had a lot to say and didn't know how to filter their words, aunts that would look me up and down and criticize, even in holiday parties at work. I couldn't deal with just being in the moment and being and feeling what it was. So that was the past. And then, by the grace of God, nothing short of a miracle, I got abstinent. After trying and trying and thinking that I can do this by myself, I got abstinent. And so the first holiday, I need to stop, and because the reality is that what it was, what it is now, none of what I have today would have been what it is or what I have today if it wasn't for the willingness. If it wasn't for just that little mustard seed of willingness to say, let me just make the right decision for today and trust in God. So I need to stay with that for a few more minutes. So I surrendered April 2008. I was done. I realized after trying and trying that I could do this by myself, that I couldn't do this. This disease was larger than me, and I was powerless. So the willingness came, and I realized that it's a gift. I'm grateful for it. I also believe that through the abstinence, I learned to trust in God, and that I give the days to God, and I will give the Thanksgiving to God, and I will give my Christmas to God, because I am absolutely powerless over the food. I have a prayer. I write prayers, and I tend to commit to them, and this is one that I've committed to for the holiday. I wrote, God, who is it that you want me to be? Guide me to be that person, God. Help me to eat the foods that nourish my body. Help me to be engaged with my fellows and be grateful for what I have. That's what the holidays are for me now. I'll tell you that some of the things that I do for today, I have a plan of action. I do not just leave things up for chance because it's just the wrong path. So, for example, I even have the festivities begin for me tomorrow. I'm baptizing my nephew. There's going to be a big party at my mother's house, the usual suspects, 40 people. It happens. And so yesterday I started with the first phone call to my sponsor. So what's the plan of action? I call ahead where I can. At my mother's house, I find out what it is that's being served. I find out if I can't, I try to go through a plan of action. If, for example, I'm going to a holiday party for work, I say out loud to my sponsor, this is what I think is going to happen. And I have a little, some of the things in regards to the food is I always look for the protein on the table first. I move from there to the vegetables, and then the carbs are always very easy to find. So there's these little things, but I talk them out and I say them out loud. Typically, my program is I do email my food to my sponsor once a day, but for the holidays, I do call in. And I call in the day of, and we make arrangements so that I feel safe. You know, I feel safe in the plan. I feel safe with having given it up. And I don't feel alone. And that process took me a long time to come to, but I know that it works, and it's what I need in order to make the holidays real and to make them sane and to engage, as I said in my prayer, in my fellows, in my family, because the reality is that none of those uncles and aunts have changed. They are what they are, and the food is still there. There's still tables and tables of foods in the parties that I go to, but I've changed. And that's where all the difference has come. So I go to more meetings. I have two small children. I have to put them to bed at night. It's very important for me to be part of their for that. That's just something that I have. But I go to AA meetings. They're around the clock. I find this local one at 9 o'clock. I go. I find them. So I go to a lot of AA meetings personally around the November, December time period. So I have a plan, you know, and I talk it through. And the first year that I was abstinent, I'll never forget, I wrote my food plan on a Post-it and I put it in my pocket because I was afraid that I would have these thoughts. I remember I was newly abstinent and it was hard. So I just kept this little piece of paper and I would look down and make sure that I was doing what I had to do, you know, one moment at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time, and before you know it, the day had ended, and I was safe, and I was engaged, and the holidays were real. The other thing that I started doing, which everybody in my family and my friends now know me for, is when I got abstinent, you know, so it's a, for me now, what the holidays mean is, my family. I adore my family. I've worked through my resentments. I've gone through my stuff, and I'm engaged. And so a lot of it is conversing and being a part of something greater than myself, because I do feel that I am part of something greater than myself. And so one of the things that I've done now is I started bringing a big bingo cage to each one of our festivities. And it helps me to, and we play bingo. My Italian family plays bingo now, which I think is the most hysterical thing because they have no idea. But they love it, and it keeps me engaged and away from the food tables, and they now expect me to bring this, and I've been doing it for the last 2 years, and I plan on doing it again. And they love it, and the point of it is, and the reason why I started to do it was just to kind of take the emphasis off of you know, my addiction, which is the food, and looking at it's just a safeguard that I put out there, and I enjoy it. And so now I spend a lot of time planning this, and my family loves it. So with that, I will stop. We have about, I think this workshop I said ends 10:55, so we're going to open this up to some 3 to 5 minute shares, or if you'd like to ask a question. I'm not sure if I have to hand off this microphone or not. Does anybody know the answer to that? Yes? Okay. So we'll open it up to some sharing. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you.